Okay, so this is a visualization exercise for intramuscular injection. So what I'd like you to do is make yourself comfy, uncross your legs and arms, find a comfy spot for your head and for your back. Just allow yourself to get comfortable, and for the first few moments, just breathe in nice and deep and slow, in through your nose and out through your mouth. Just focusing all your attention on the movement of the air as you breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. So drawing a long, slow, deep breath in through your nose, really noticing the movement of the air as you breathe in, filling your lungs with nourishing oxygen, feeling the fullness in your lungs as you breathe nice and deep and comfortably. And then as you exhale, let your shoulders drop down, your jaw release, your hands relax, your tummy soften, letting your whole body just release any tightness, any tension. Breathing in nice and deep and slow, in through the nose, and out through the mouth, letting your body relax, releasing tension, blowing that tension far, far away. Just letting your whole body relax and let go. So again, breathing deep, comfortably at your pace, in through your nose, focusing all your attention on the movement of the air coming in, and exhaling and letting go. Breathing in nice and deep. And then all the way out. Good. Taking a few more moments to focus on your breath as I'm quiet. Just allowing yourself to relax, to ground into this moment. And if ever you're distracted by sounds around, just bring your attention back to your breath, back to the sounds of my words. Good. Continuing to focus on your breath while I just explain the exercise. So a very important component of overcoming anxiety is decreasing avoidance. And we can decrease avoidance through our imagination, by focusing on things, thinking about things, sensing things, imagining things. We can also decrease our avoidance by looking at photos and pictures. We can further increase our attempts to decrease the avoidance by playing with needles, by practicing injections of different sorts, many different ways, slowly increasing the intensity over time. Overcoming avoidance is a really critical step in overcoming anxiety. Many, many times we're afraid of things that our mind has conjured up. Lies, deceptions, fears our mind has conjured up, making us believe there's a reason to be afraid when truly there's little to no danger. The same can be said. Some people are afraid of balloons. It may or may not be your fear, but it's a lie that their mind is conjured up, and then they focus on that lie, they focus on that trick, and then it gets bigger and bigger in their mind. And then they start changing their breath, holding their breath, breathing quickly anytime they're around balloons. They start catastrophizing, thinking the worst, imagining the worst, believing the worst. They believe it's unmanageable. They magnify the situation and underestimate their ability to cope. There's many, many different fears. Some people are afraid of heights, horses, dogs, cats, balloons, many, many different, interesting, and widely varied fears. And needles is just another fear, not dissimilar at all to these other fears. We focus on the fear, we avoid doing the thing, it becomes bigger in our mind. Our anxiety response becomes more exaggerated over time, and this fear gets reinforced. So the most important thing to overcome anxiety is to face the fears, but it's important to face the fears in a relaxed, calm state, doing breathing and using coping statements and staying with it for at least 15 to 20 minutes until relaxation and calm has returned. 15 to 20 minutes is a very important key piece to overcoming fear. Whenever we face something that's difficult for us, we stay in the situation for 15 to 20 minutes, do our deep breathing, use our coping statements, continuing to look at it, change our thinking. And by the end of the 15, 20 minutes, our anxiety level has come down. And the next time we do it, it's even better. Comes down faster, doesn't go as high, and we keep doing that. So the first part of this exercise is out loud. We're going to name the fear in all its glorious and gory details. So focusing just for now on the intramuscular injections. Just talking out loud, I want you to tell me, describe what your greatest fear when you think about getting an intramuscular injection. Describe it in all its glorious and gory detail. You can go ahead and describe your fear out loud.
I think it's like that I'm gonna like freak out more about it, and then it's not gonna help, and then I'm gonna be doing it, but it's gonna be making it worse. It's just gonna be like overwhelming for me, I guess.
Okay. So you're nervous about the fear and this anticipatory anxiety leading up to it. And so that's a really important piece of the equation for us to address. What about the actual injection? Tell me what scares you about that.
I don't like that it's a needle going to a space, like, in my leg that there isn't space for. So, like, it forces its way in and makes its own space. And that, like, freaks me out.
Okay. And what happens when, in your mind, what does the unconscious mind tell you happens when that needle goes in and makes space?
I just feel really, like, uneasy about it. Because just, like, it doesn't belong there. And I don't like that it doesn't belong there.
Okay.
And then I'm like purposely putting it somewhere it doesn't belong.
Okay, and what's so bad about the fact that it doesn't belong?
I don't know. Okay. It's just kind of like it shouldn't be there.
Okay.
So why is it there?
Okay. So it is there. People get needles every day in an intramuscular needle. So what damage can it cause in your mind? What can it do when it's in there?
I don't think it's gonna like hurt me or like kill me anyway. It goes into a space where there isn't space for it. So the matter that was in the space where it's gone, where does it go?
Okay. And when you pull the needle out, what happens?
Well, everything in theory would go back into the same spot, but now there's a small hole.
Okay, and what happens to that hole over time?
But it heals, but like what if something gets in the hole?
Okay.
Or like what if the hole never really heals?
Okay.
And then you go to get a needle and you put it beside the hole, right beside it, and then you get a bigger hole.
Okay. So it's what happens to that hole if some bacteria, something gets into that hole, and what if the hole never heals? Okay. So what else are you afraid of about the needle? So it's the worry ahead of time, getting yourself worked up, causing a migraine. It's the fact that this object, this needle, is making a hole in you that could then expose you to further danger or infection. Anything else?
I think it's like, I don't want to put myself through the stress of getting a needle if the stress is going to cause the needle not to work. And then it feels like I'm wasting energy doing something that's not able to help me because I'm working against it.
And how did the needle, the stress from the needle, cause the needle not work, to not work?
Well, I'd be like so anxious and stressed about it, it would make me have more migraines.
Okay.
And then the needle is working against those migraines, but there's more, I guess, total opportunity for migraine.
And in the medicine that's being injected, what is that medicine designed to do?
It's designed to work against migraines, but like...
For how long?
For like every month, but there's like a success rate is if you reduce it by half, which is what it's supposed to do.
Okay.
But then if you significantly increase the numbers of migraines you could be having, the half could be less, could be greater than what you could get without
okay.
the needle.
So... Is it possible the migraines may increase the first few times you do it? And how long would that increased episode of migraines last?
I don't know. I think it would last until I can be okay with getting the needle, and the anxiety like leading up to it
okay.
is reduced.
How long does a typical migraine last these days?
Like 4 hours to like 4 days.
Okay. So if you had additional stress about getting the needle, there's an increased chance you'd have a migraine leading up to the injection and a migraine after the injection. But at best, you're saying it would last about 4 days after the injection.
Yeah, but I think if I started stressing about it, let's say 2 weeks out, I'm going to have more migraines over the 2 weeks coming up to it.
Okay.
And so that's like half the month.
Okay.
And then probably after, it would take me a few days to like decompress about it and get over it. And then I'd have to realize I have to do it again in the next month.
Okay. And just run for me in your mind of all the things you've learned so far. What are different ways that you could handle the worry?
I could try to like stop like catastrophizing and what's going to go completely wrong and think about really what could happen and what are like the good outcomes and the bad outcomes.
Okay.
And then I could like try to like distract myself from the anxiety like leading up to it, and that might help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what about the deep breathing and the meditations?
Yeah, I think those would be like part of like trying to like, I guess not distract, but like change how I feel about it, I guess.
Change the thinking.
Yeah.
So is there any fact, when you think about all the thousands of people who get these injections on a monthly basis, is there any fact to think there's an undue level of risk?
No, I don't think it's like a risk thing.
Do all the people who get these injections worry about the injections?
I don't think so.
Okay. So if all the people don't worry, then it's not a function of the injection, it's a function of your thinking. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we change our thinking?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's in your control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I'd like you to do now is I want you to imagine 2 weeks before the injection. What are the things you're going to do in those 2 weeks, every day, leading up to your very first injection?
I would try to like do my deep breathing if I find myself like dwelling on it, and I try to like distract myself, and then I try to like, I guess like rationalize what I'm thinking about it, and think like, if I'm like catastrophizing it or something, and if I am, like think like what are the actual outcomes I could have.
Okay.
And I could just try to like, I guess try to like reduce my anxiety by reducing like the stresses in my life and by not dwelling on it, I would be less anxious about it.
And why is getting this needle important to you? How could it change your life?
Well, my parents really want me to try it. There's a chance it could help my migraines. And I think, like, if it could help, that'd be really good, because I could, like, go to school and, like, not have to deal with the migraines all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a lot of people every year overcome their fear of needles and overcome their tendency to worry and catastrophize. What makes you different?
I think I can overcome it. Like, I don't think I'm, like, different from the rest of the group. I think maybe why I don't like them might not be, like, the normal reason not to like them. But no. I don't think that changes how I can deal with it.
Okay. So what I'd like you to do now is rephrase what you just mentioned you'd do leading up to that injection as a plan rather than as when we put things in, I could try this, I could try that. It's not as definitive and it's not a plan. It's dabbling. So we don't try to put our shoes on, we put our shoes on. So in your mind, I'd like you to craft a plan that you will do. I will do X, I will do Y. So removing the try. The try is an unequivocal, uncommitted word. So making it, when we use the words I will, we're making a commitment to ourselves. So what would you put in your definitive plan for 2 weeks leading up to an intramuscular injection?
I would make sure that if I find myself, like, dwelling on it and freaking out about it, I would use, like, my distraction techniques to stop that. And then if I find myself, like, catastrophizing or, like, I guess, like, magnifying it, I would use the techniques we have for dealing with that to make sure that I reduce that. And then I would do, like, my, like, deep breathing and, like, the mindfulness exercises and stuff to help me, I guess, handle the stress better.
Okay, good. So it sounds more definitive. It sounds more concrete. It sounds like something you're investing in. So what I'd like you to do is I want you to imagine now you've done all these things. You've looked at the needle and needle pictures I'm going to be sending you today. You've looked at the videos. And while you're looking at these videos and pictures, you've been doing your deep breathing. You've been using your coping statements. And you've been keeping yourself calm, telling yourself you want to do it, telling yourself you can do it. And so you're in the best state possible. You've changed. Anytime you get anxious about the horse, you've been able to decatastrophize, demagnify. Anytime you get anxious about your schoolwork, you've been able to decatastrophize, demagnify. Whenever you find yourself stressing about your headaches, you find yourself demagnifying. You're able to take it 1 hour at a time, 1 day at a time, just as it is, not worrying about how long it'll go on, where it came from, but just taking it 1 hour at a time, 1 hour at a time. So you've done all these things and you're in the best state possible. I'd like you to imagine, just to the best of your ability, walking into the clinic, just imagining what that clinic would look like, walking in for your appointment to get your first injection. I want you to see what you've done that morning, the day before, to prepare, to keep yourself in the best mental space possible. What have you done to be as calm and confident as possible? So just in your mind, just run through that in your mind, what you've done the day before. And it may be the same thing that you've done the 2 weeks leading up. But what have you done the day before, morning of? What are you telling yourself so that you're calm and you're confident? Then I'd also like you to imagine a spirit animal that's going to be with you. This spirit animal, whichever one you choose, evokes the traits of courage, power, confidence. It's the calmest, most confident spirit animal possible. So in your mind, just select the animal that you would want with you, standing beside you, sitting beside you, there with you, sharing in your courage, sharing in your confidence. And I want you to imagine just talking to that spirit animal and asking that animal for something that's going to help you. So just quietly, in your mind's eye, imagine talking to that animal. Imagine asking it for something that's going to help you be able to walk into that clinic calm and confident, to be able to have spent the week before without stressing, knowing you can handle it, knowing it's simply a needle that's going to go in, it'll come out. Just like it when it goes into slime, putty, the needle goes in, and when it comes in, out, the material just fills in the space as if it was never there. The medicine just distributes throughout the body. So what are you going to ask that spirit animal? How can it help you manage this injection in the most calm and confident way? What are you going to be telling yourself when you're sitting in that clinic? What are the coping statements you're going to be repeating over and over in your mind? And in the intervening weeks, it'd be important to look up and research intramuscular injections. And you'll find the needle is the shortest needle possible. It's simply just puncturing the skin, going in, releasing the medicine that's going to help you. It dissipates through your body, and then it's withdrawn. The skin and the subcutaneous material just fills in as if it was never there. You know when you get a paper cut, it bleeds for a moment. You may hold it, and then the body just starts repairing immediately. The cells start regenerating immediately. It's nothing you need to think about. The body just takes care of it all on its own. So there's many times where we need to get injections, we need to undergo surgery. Things go in places they wouldn't normally go, but they go there to help us. We get a cast that wouldn't normally be there to help our bones fuse. We get braces to help strengthen our bones and our tendons and our ligaments. We undergo surgery to repair torn ligaments or tendons. The scalpel, the needles are in places they wouldn't normally go, but it's been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. The body has an amazing capacity to repair. So does the brain. So even though at various times in our lives, things aren't where they need to be or we're used to them being, they're important, they're helpful. When a person has a blocked artery, they insert a stent that opens up that artery, enabling the blood to flow to the heart. There's lots and lots of medical inventions that enable people to live their lives to the fullest. So I'd like you to imagine yourself in that clinic. You're sitting there and your spirit animal's beside you. What are the two things, when you think about how you want that experience to be, that you, what are two words that would describe how you want that experience to be? And there could be words like calm, relaxed, easy, or describing yourself as confident, cool. What are two words that would describe how you want that experience or yourself to be? So think about those two words. Bring those to the forefront of your mind. Good. Hold on to those words. Hold on to your spirit animal. Leading up to that day, you've done a ton of work. You've practiced your breathing as you plan to do. You've practiced your coping statements as you said you plan to do. You've practiced changing that catastrophizing and that magnifying patterns of thought. You're able to decatastrophize and think about positive alternative outcomes that are just as realistic. You're able to demagnify and make things small and manageable. I can handle it, it's no big deal. You're able to keep things in context. You've practiced your breathing. You've practiced changing your thinking. You've practiced the meditations and keeping your thoughts focused, experiencing deep relaxation. You've practiced looking at the videos and the fit pictures, doing your breathing, thinking positive thoughts, changing your thinking, knowing you can do this. You've done so many other things in your life, overcome so many more difficult things. You can do this too. This is just one small challenge. It's a hurdle to overcome like you've overcome others. You've done all these things. You've practiced this visualization, either using the recording or not, and you're there that day in the clinic. You're ready. You want to do this. You want to invite this medicine into your body because there's a potential you could have a life like your friends. You could go on and live a reasonably normal life like the rest of us. No one gets perfect. There's always bumps in the road. But you could go on to study. You could go away to university. You could get a job. You could have fun with your friends. You could go about your day without needing to cancel or lose parts of your day in bed. You could avoid the pain and the discomfort and the frustration that comes with regular headaches and migraines. Most importantly, though, you could overcome this capacity and tendency to worry, catastrophize, and magnify. And when you do that, you can face any challenge, any exam, any internship, any manager, any job requirements. You could do anything. Everything becomes possible and doors open up. So this is just one small challenge, this intramuscular injection. But the skills you learn, you'll be able to use in so many other parts of your life. So bringing those two words, those two qualities back to mind, feeling your spirit animal there. He or she is there to help you. Help you be whatever those two words are, calm, confident, brave, courageous, persistent, determined, successful, whatever it is. You're sitting in that waiting room. You're doing your deep breathing. You're thinking positive thoughts. You've researched the intramuscular injections from reputable sources. You know it's a really short needle. Any discomfort is only brief. The body has an amazing capacity to heal from a very teensy wound like that to even bigger wounds when people are involved in motor vehicle accidents or fall off of cliffs or other injuries. The body has an amazing capacity to heal from teeny weeny small wounds like a needle to bigger gaping wounds. The body can heal. So you're sitting in that waiting room. And you can hear the nurse call your name. It's your turn to go in. You see yourself, feel yourself walk into that room. You're changing into the gown. Then you're sitting down. You're still breathing. You're still thinking positive thoughts. You can do this. This is just a small hurdle for you to overcome. And the more you can overcome it, the more you can do it, using all these strategies, one day, very soon, perhaps the first, the second, or the third injection, it'll be no big deal. Some people, it's just the first time they do it, using all these positive coping techniques and skills. They know they can do it the next time, like it's a walk in the park. So other people, it's the second time or the third time. Everyone's different. But what does happen, each and every time you do it, it gets easier. Easier and easier. Because the medicine is helpful. The medicine is beneficial. And the medicine, the overcoming this, opens you up to more and more possible treatment. More and more other possible ways to intervene. So see yourself in that room. You're continuing to do the breathing, to talk to yourself positively. Your spirit animal is with you. You may even imagine holding hands with it. Hand to paw, whatever you imagine. But it's there with you. You're thinking positively. You're doing your breathing. You're keeping yourself calm. You're keeping those stress hormones down, keeping them way, way down. You're getting ready for the procedure. You're distracting yourself with other things. You're keeping your mind busy, perhaps reciting poetry, singing a song in your head. You may be instead just even reading a book. Different people use different strategies to keep their mind busy. It's whatever you think is going to be most effective for you. But just imagine yourself doing that now. You're laying on the table. They're preparing the area. You're doing your deep breathing. You're keeping your mind busy. Either reciting poetry, a prayer, reading, singing a song, either with music, with earbuds, or just singing it in your mind. Counting backwards if that works for you, spelling backwards. Telling yourself a story in your mind from one you remember from childhood, like the three little bears, Snow White. Whatever works for you, it doesn't matter. Just keep your mind busy, keep positive. Keep thinking those positive thoughts over and over and over and over and over again. See yourself and feel yourself doing that now. See yourself on the table, distracting yourself, breathing, thinking those positive thoughts over and over again. Feel yourself there on the table doing just that. And as you're doing that, you're keeping the muscles in your legs relaxed. Letting your foot fall to the side so that all the muscles in your quads and your hamstrings are maximally relaxed. It's easier for muscles, for needles, to be injected when the muscles are relaxed. So your legs are relaxed. And before you even know it, the procedure is over. And that's it. It takes but a fraction of a moment. You'll feel a pinch. And that pinch means the medicine is circulating throughout your body. The medicine is in you to help you. The medicine is beginning to work. That's what that pinch means. The pinch you feel is just simply the medicine entering your body to help you Take a moment when it's done to applaud your success, to think about the things you did well, to feel good about yourself. This was a difficult and scary thing for you, as balloons may be for somebody else. But this is your thing, and you overcame this hurdle. And next time, the hurdle will be so much smaller. And your skills and your abilities to think positively, to be more confident, to feel more confident will be greater. This will happen more and more. So just taking a moment as you lie on the table, as many other clients have done, shocked at how fast it was, how it's already over. How it was way less of a big deal than they thought it was. And they hear themselves and feel themselves, I can do this, I did it. Feel that pride, feel that confidence return to you. And the more and more areas of your life you start to experience that calm, that confidence, knowing you don't have to listen to every worry thought that pops into your head. Just because it pops into your head doesn't make it real. It's just a thought. We have 85,000 of them in a day. Some thoughts are simply garbage thoughts. We can choose to pay attention to the thoughts that are helpful to us and ignore the rest, change the negative ones. And the more we get more selective with the thoughts we pay attention to, the more we become masters of our destiny. We can also choose to pay attention to the feelings. Not every feeling is fact. A feeling just occurs. We decide what we do with it. We can notice the anxiety, but no, it's just stress hormones. It's just adrenocorticotropin, cortisol, and corticotropin releasing hormone. That's all it is. It'll dissipate. It'll go away. There's no real threat. It's just in response to the thoughts we're having. The thoughts cause the stress hormones. We can do our deep breathing. We can choose to ignore it, change the thinking, and focus on something else. This degree of mastery stays with you for life. The more you use these skills, the stronger they get. Just like every other skill in our life. The more we practice it, the more we use it, the better it gets. Just like writing gets stronger, our skills at writing get stronger the more we do it. Our division skills get stronger the more we practice them. Whatever the skill may be, calculus, physics, doesn't matter. It gets stronger the more we use it. So each and every time you have a success, applaud it, congratulate yourself, acknowledge it, don't ignore it. So take a moment again, just bring back to mind who your spirit animal is. Those two words that you wish to describe your experience, whether it be calm, confidence, determined, resourceful, courageous. What are the two words that you wish to feel when you leave the clinic? So you can practice this visualization exercise with or without the recording. The most important thing is to do it. To practice it in your mind, because the more we practice it, the more it becomes a reality. Visualization is a powerful skill. Athletes use it all the time. The difference between two athletes, 97% of it, between two equally skilled athletes, is their mental game. And that's their ability to calm themselves, use the power of their mind and harness it, and to visualize the success that they want. Visualization is intricately related to success. We can use visualization each and every day. When we're riding tests, when we're riding horses, whatever we're doing, we can visualize success. And the more we can visualize it, the more likely it'll happen. We enhance our success and we enhance the likelihood. So when you're ready, you can open your eyes and return to the room around you.